Good morning. Welcome to Bible Talk. As we begin our program today, I want to present a hypothetical situation. Suppose that two different denominations decide to have a union meeting where the preacher from one denomination would preach one night and the preacher from the other denomination would preach the next night. They had agreed not to teach their own particular denominational doctrines as taught in their respective denominational manual or discipline or confession of faith, but rather to preach just from the Bible. As a result of the preaching during the meeting, let us suppose that 300 souls responded to the preaching of the gospel of Christ. However, as the meeting drew to a close, one problem was quite obvious. What should the converts be called, and where should they worship? 100 decided to join one denomination, and another 100 decided to join the other. The third 100 asked, "Haven't we obeyed the one gospel? Haven't we been saved? Aren't we just Christians?" And so they decided that they should not join themselves to a denomination controlled by their conferences, councils, general assemblies, and synods, but rather that they should simply worship and work together just as Christians did in the first century, as recorded in the Bible. They decided to be a church that belongs to Christ and to follow only Christ. Now I want to ask you, is this possible? Is it possible for a person to obey the one gospel revealed in Scripture, to be just a Christian who wears just the name of Christ, a Christian whose creed is the Bible only, a Christian whose loyalty and subjection is to Christ alone, a Christian who assembles and works with other Christians who believe the same? Well, these are the questions that we want to consider on our program today. Well, let us ask this question. When people obeyed the gospel in the first century as recorded in the Bible, what were they, and of what denomination did they become a member? Look with me first of all in Acts chapter 2. Here we read of Peter preaching the gospel to unbelieving Jews. Peter proved that the Jesus whom they had crucified, God had made Him both Lord and Christ. The text says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Acts 2, verses 37 and 38. Verse 41 says, "Then those who gladly received His word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Question: these souls who believed, repented, and were baptized, what did they become? What denomination did they join? Well, we know they are called disciples in Acts 6, verses 1 and 2, and also disciples of the Lord in Acts 9, verse 1. They're called saints in Acts 9, verse 13. We know that the disciples of the Lord are first called Christians in Antioch, recorded in Acts 11, verse 26. And so they were just disciples of Christ, Christians, saints, those set apart from the world and dedicated to Jesus Christ. What church did they join? Acts 2 and verse 47 says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." They were added by the Lord to His church. They did not join any denomination. Look with me also in Acts chapter 8. We read of Philip going down to the city of Samaria, and he preached Christ to them, it says in verse 5. Verse 12 says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." Now, question: after these Samaritans believed and were baptized, what were they called? And what church did they join? Well, they were just disciples of Christ, Christians, just as those Jews were in Jerusalem recorded in Acts 2. They were added by the Lord to His church, just as those Christians in Acts 2 were added to the church by the Lord. And you see, throughout the book of Acts, as we read of the different cases of conversion, in every case, those who obeyed the one gospel were saved, were just disciples of Christ, Christians, and were added by the Lord to His church. Christians in the first century were not divided into many different denominations. The view that many people have today is that all the different denominations make up the Church of our Lord. They view the many denominations as different roads to the same place. This is the reason you may hear people say, "Get saved and join the church of your choice." But the fact is, our Lord never intended for His church to be divided into different denominations that believe and practice different things. First of all, the Bible teaches that Christ established only one church and desires for all men to be united in that one church. In Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus promised, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." It is not without significance that He spoke of His church in the singular as opposed to the plural. There was no promise about churches and no indication that He wanted His kingdom divided into different denominations. The evidence, in fact, is altogether to the contrary. Just before His death, Jesus prayed, "I do not pray for these alone." That is, He was not just praying for His apostles, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word. And that includes believers today. You see, anyone who believes in Christ today believes in Jesus through the words of the apostles. Well, what does Jesus pray for? He prayed that they all may be one, as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one. Jesus prayed for unity. Jesus desires oneness, unity, on the part of His believers, His disciples. Secondly, the New Testament apostles and prophets recognized only one church. Paul explicitly stated, "There is one body," in Ephesians 4, verse 4. Now that body, according to his own statement earlier in the same epistle, is the church. He said, "And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. Now how many bodies or churches did Paul recognize? What was his inspired teaching on the matter? He said, "There is one body." And thirdly, the apostles and prophets taught that the church is to be united in faith and practice. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. In Ephesians 4, verses 3 through 6, Paul said, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." We must endeavor, he says, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is a unity that is enjoined by the Holy Spirit and provided by the Spirit. But in order to keep the unity of the Spirit, we must recognize these unifying facts. There is one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. You see, the reason there are many different denominations in the religious world is because they believe in different gods. They have different views about the one Lord. They hold to different faiths and practice different baptisms. If we will all believe in the one God and follow the one Lord, heed the one Spirit, hold to the one faith, practice the one baptism, have the one hope as revealed in Scripture, we then can be united in the one body, the one church. We will then not be divided into different denominations. There are hundreds of different churches in America who believe and practice different things. Yet when viewed from a biblical perspective, we must say that there is actually only one church, and that all the other so-called churches are nothing more than false churches and human denominations. Just as there are in the world many alleged gods, yet we know that there is really only one true God. So there are many alleged churches in the world, yet we know that there is really only one true church. When a person becomes a Christian by his obedience to the gospel of Christ, and there is only one gospel, read Galatians 1:6-9, then this person is added by the Lord to His one church. That is all he is, a Christian, a part of the church which belongs to Christ. And he's not a part of some human denomination controlled by its human conferences, general assemblies, or synods. All Christians can be one in Christ and not divided into different denominations because they have no creed but the Bible. Many denominations have, in addition to the Bible, their catechism, or they may call it their discipline, or their confession of faith, or their manual. And these different creed books state what their distinctive beliefs and practices are. These books have been sanctioned by their conferences or councils or general assemblies. These different creeds teach different doctrines, and therefore they produce different denominations. But the church that Jesus built, the one church, has no other creed but the Bible. As they follow that one standard, they can be united. The Bible, you see, is the complete revelation of God to man, and it alone should determine our beliefs and practices. The all truth was given in the first century to the apostles and prophets, John 16:13. This all truth did not pass away, 1 Peter 1:22-25. We now have this all truth preserved in Scripture. The all truth in this written form forms a fixed and objective standard for religious beliefs and practices. There are no latter-day revelations. There is no one today living on earth who has the authority to speak for Christ. The Bible is the complete revelation of God. And we have emphasized that the Bible can be understood and it can be understood alike. And so there is no need for human creeds. Men will never come together on the creeds, theories, and speculations of men. But they can come together on the Bible as the common authority for united faith and action. Through dedicated and diligent study of the Scriptures, each man can learn the truth, and then it will no longer be a matter of one man's belief over against that of someone else's, but it will be the will of Christ. It will no longer be a matter of one man's church versus another, but it will be the church of Christ, the church of God. Well, how does one become just a Christian? Well, a person becomes just a Christian today in exactly the same way that men and women did in the first century. What they did in the first century is they heard the one gospel, the gospel of Christ. They believed it, repented of their sins, confessed their faith in Christ, and were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of their sins. The Lord saved them and added them to His church. Well, if we will do the same things that they did, will the result not be the same? Will we not be saved and added to the one church? Will we not be just Christians as they were? Yes, it is possible to be just a Christian, a part of the one body of Christ, united with all others who have done the same, without being a part of any denomination. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like an audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then all you need to do is give us your name and address, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Now, there are three ways that you may send in your request. You may email it in, and our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.